Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph. At this point, we might have an extended shiur that might continue till the top part of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, and I mention that only because we are learning in the context of a Daf Yomi style shiur, and hence we will possibly be spilling over. That remains to be seen as the shiur goes on. We have a topic heading in the margin that we call the Nosei, under which we've written Klal Shel Rav Safra, the rule taught by Rav Safra, involves the issue of Mosai Motzien Ribis Min Hamalve Kedei Lachziro Laloive. Under what circumstances or when would we extricate or remove, collect from the Malve the Ribis, the interest that he had collected from the borrower? We would collect that interest from him, and of course then return that to the Lova. We've up till now made allusions to situations of ribis that is prohibited on a Torah level, ribis that is prohibited only on a rabbinic level. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Safra, Kol She'ilu B'dinehem Moitzin Mi Loive La Malve. If you have a situation that in the Gentile courts they would charge the borrower, the Loive, ribis, and insist that it be paid to the lender. So in contrast, B'dinenu, in our legal system, that kind of ribis, machzirin mi malve laloive, we would, if collected by the malve, have it returned to the love. And in contrast, kol she'ilu b'dineim ein motzien mi loive lamalve, those interest situations that the Gentile system would not intervene and extract from the love, from the borrower, to pay the malve, b'dineinu, in our legal system, it's apparently not significant enough for us to return it. Ein machzirin mi malve lalove. So the spirit of Rav Safra is that the more significant the interest is, making it such that the Gentiles would see to it that the borrower shall certainly pay it, we would have an opposite reaction and expect the lender who collected it to return it to the borrower. And in contrast, if it's not that significant enough a type of ribis that the Gentiles would insist on the borrower paying it, in our system, if the lender collected it, we wouldn't insist on its return. That, as far as the Gemara is concerned, is a rather general and possibly even vague statement on Rav Safra's part. So as we go through the Gemara, first we'll notice a new marking, a bow tie shape, and under our Mivneh heading, our structural note, we indicate that the bow tie represents Kushos al HaKlal Shel Rav Safra. These are questions, challenges to Rav Safra's teaching. Through the questions, the Gemara eventually will lead to, we'll say, a concrete illustration of the two points that Rav Safra made, that we labeled as Aleph and Beis. The Gemara. Omar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Uklolahu, is Rav Safra's rule hard and fast? Vehare Sa'abisah. Sa'abisah is a form of lending that we've alluded to in the past. I like to refer to the cup of sugar example. Literally, a saw is a measure, oftentimes a measure of grain, or the cup of sugar example is the neighbor comes knocking on the door to borrow a cup of sugar from you today, and in 2 weeks the neighbor brings back a cup of sugar to repay repay the cup of sugar that he borrowed. Now, in the course of time, the value of one cup of sugar might very well increase, so that he borrowed a cup of sugar worth, let us say, a half a dollar, and by the time he returns the cup of sugar, it might have gone up to $1 in value. That's called sa'ah b'sa'ah. As far as halacha is concerned, we do not consider that a form of ribis d'oraisa. It's not a Torah-level offense, even if the returned cup of sugar happens to be worth more. What do we know about sa'ah b'sa'ah? De bedineihem moitzien miloy ve'lamalve. If, let us say, the time has come to pay back the cup of sugar, and he hasn't done so, so the Gentile legal system will intervene and insist that you borrowed a cup of sugar, you have to pay back a cup of sugar. So in their system, they are moitzin, they will take from the borrower and give to the lender. Obedineinu, and yet in our system, let us pause for a moment, if in their system we know they are moitzin miloy v'lamalve, according to Rav Safra, what should be in our system? Do you see, if you go back to the Aleph of Rav Safra, it said if in their system they are moitzin miloy v'lamalve, what follows? In our system, we would have it returned, the balance, the extra amount, returned from the malve to the love. And yet, what do we know about sa'ah b'sa'ah? And in our system, ein machzirin mi malve malove. We do not return, in the case that a malve collected the cup of sugar 2 weeks later that happened to be worth more, we're not going to expect him to compensate the borrower with that difference. Omar le. So Rav Yosef responds, inhu, the Gentiles, when they look at a cup of sugar, let's say a loaned cup of sugar, b'teras pikadoin osa liode. It's not in the realm of loans in their mindset. Pikadon means it's like an entrusted item. So that when they are insisting that the love, the one who borrowed it, pays it back, it's not being paid back as a loan is paid back with interest, but in their eyes, it's as if the original cup of sugar was given to the borrower as an entrusted item, and now time has come to give back that with which you were entrusted. And Rav Safra, on the other hand, he was dealing with transactions that are viewed as loans. So the cup of sugar, in the eyes of the Gentiles, is a different realm of transaction, realm of entrusting an item. And as we just said, Rav Safra's principle or rule applies to transactions that are categorized as loans. Well, we have another question. Omar le Ravina, le Rav Ashi, v'hare, mashkanta below nachyaisa. Mashkanta is a form of collateral when a loan is extended. The lender might take, let us say, a field as collateral. And the arrangement in Mashkanta below Nachesa, literally below Nachesa means without subtraction, without reduction. In practical terms, this is a situation where someone lends money, and until the loan is paid back, the lender received from the borrower a piece of land, land producing fruits. And in this arrangement, until the loan is paid back, the lender is eating the fruits, and the fruit consumption does not result in any minimizing or reducing of the principal of the loan, so that at the end of the loan period, the lender will not only get back his loan money, get back the principal, but he will have in the interim benefited from all of those fruits that he was eating until that point. So that you've got a real, we'll say, a case of a loan with interest. I'm not saying it's a doraisa, a Torah level violation, but it certainly is a case where you can see that the lender, in addition to getting back his principal, he also got a lot of fruits in the deal. That's called mashkanta below nachyaisa. De bedineya motzien miloy v'lamalve. In the Gentile system, they will insist that the lender gets those fruits. They will see to it that the as Rashi says, if the borrower himself ate those fruits, they will charge that value to the borrower and say, you've got to pay the lender all of those fruits that you were eating from your field that you had given to him as collateral. So that in their system, in a case of a mashkanta balo nachyaisa, they will insist that the borrower pays for those fruits if he himself ate them when the lender should have been eating them. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, ubedinenu, and yet when it comes to our legal system, even though it's a forbidden thing to do, whereby a lender gets collateral and eats from the field without reducing from the principal, and yet ain machzir mi malve lelove. In the event that the malve was eating the fruits, we're not going to make him pay back the value of the fruits to the borrower. In other words, you'll have in our system, the lender will be able to collect his principal. And as far as his consumption of the fruits, it was a wrong thing to do, but we're not going to charge him for it. We're not going to make the lender pay back that value to the borrower. Now, Rashi adds an important point on the top line of Dinenu Ein Machzirin, Davak Ribbishu. This is a term we had in our previous year. Avak Ribbis means it's not the Doraisa, the Torah level of Ribbis. Why is it not that? Kevon dezimn and shein oisim peros. There are times that fruits don't, that the trees or fields don't bear fruits. Shakromim loikim. There's some kind of a plant disease where the vineyards are stricken, and they don't produce any fruits. And therefore, during that time or situations like that, so the lender isn't getting anything beyond his principal when the loan is paid back. He's not benefiting from the fruits. It's not a definite gain that he has. Ein zu ribis ksus. It's not called fixed, established ribis, which we know is also ribis doraisa. So what about Rav Safra's principle? Here we have another question, where you have a situation whereby the Gentiles, they will charge the love, make sure that the malva gets that payment, gets that value, that we'll call interest value, and yet in our system we don't extract it from the malva in the event that he received it. Omarle, Rav Ashi answers, in a case like that, in a mashkanta below nachyaisa, inu b'tura zvini osa liyadayu, they view it as a sale. It's not an arrangement that falls into the category of loans with interest. In other words, if someone loans money and the borrower gives him in the interim a field, it's like a time-based sale. that until the loan is paid up, it's as if the lender bought the field. And as such, if he bought the field, he certainly is entitled to the fruits. When the loan is paid back, so then it would be considered in their eyes as if the field is then sold back to the borrower. So, okay, so now what? With that answer, we dismissed the question once again by saying that the way the Gentiles view that arrangement is as a non-loan situation. The Gemara then asks, Ela kol she'ilu b'dinam de'koma Rav Safra mai osa lashminon. The principle that Rav Safra stated, where he said anything in their system that they would take from the Lova and make sure that the Malva gets it, where is there an application of that in practical terms? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice we have a long answer marking. Hachi osa lashminon. What Rav Safra is trying to tell us is as follows. Kol she'ilu b'dinehem motzien mi love l'malve v'dinenu machzirin mi malve l'loive. That was the aleph part of the first part of Rav Safra's rule. Umay mi, what is that? Beribis k'tsutza u chederebi alozar. Rav Safra is making an allusion to a loan where the interest rate is stated at the outset. That is a Torah level violation of the rules of Ribbis. And Rav Safra is telling us that in their system, in the Goyish system, in the Gentile system, the interest must be paid, and they'll insist that the borrower pays that to the lender. In our system, if the lender collects it, we will take it from him and give it back to the borrower. That very point was a machlokis Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar. Is Ribbis Ketzutza Yotze V'Dayon, and we learned about it in our previous shiur. And so Rav Safra is teaching or ruling like Rabbi Elazar's approach, that when it comes to Ribbis Ketzutza, fixed interest at the outset of a loan, that if the, in the event that the lender does collect it, we will take it away from him and give it back to the borrower. The second part of Rav Safra's rule, kol she'ilu b'dineim ein motzien, in where in their system we won't charge the borrower and make him pay the lender, b'dineinu ein machzirin, in our system we would not have the lender return it, umayinu, and what is an example of that? Ribbis mukdemes, ribbis mu'ucheres. These are concepts that are found toward the end of this perek, Daf Ayin Hei Omid Beis, in the Mishnah there. And Ribbis Mukdemis is a situation where a person who's interested in getting a loan, he offers a gift at the outset in order to influence the man with the money, the lender, to extend a loan. So it's Ribbis, it's a form of interest, meaning it's a payment beyond the loan money itself, given by the borrower ahead of time to the lender. And then that's mukdemus. Mukdemus means an early ribbis, extra payment that before the loan is actually extended. Ribbis mucheres is the opposite, where after the loan is paid back as an expression of gratitude, the borrower adds a gift and gives it to the lender and tells him, you know, your money was by me for a while and you weren't getting any benefit from the money because I had borrowed. Herod, accept this gift for your gesture of having extended me the loan. So that ribbis mucheres means literally late ribbis. After the loan is paid up, the borrower adds a gift to the lender. That is also a form of ribbis. These are prohibited things. As we learn throughout the perek, we'll find a number of practices that some of us who are not well informed of the laws of interest will find are actually forbidden practices. So that gifts and even verbal expressions that in ordinary circumstances would not have been exchanged or shared by the borrower to the lender, and only as a result of the loan do you express or extend these things, that becomes an area that's questionable, if not actually forbidden. So just to repeat that last point, in the case of a Gentile system, the Gentiles would not insist that the borrower pays the gift. So as Rav Safra said, that b'dinehem ein motzien milove lemalve, in their system we won't take from the lova that gift that we just described and make him pay it to the malve. In our system, if the malve in fact did receive those gifts, we won't make the malve return it to the lova. And now we quote from the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of our perek, Daf Samach Amud Beis, Ketzad Lokach Himenu Chitim Bedinor Zohav Hakur V'chein Hashar V'chulei. The Mishnah described a purchase of wheat at a price of 1 dinar zohav, which is 25 dinar kesef per kur. And that was the established market rate. And as you may recall in the Mishnah, the story had additional levels. And at the end of the Mishnah, we saw that if the, we'll call him the supplier, did not have in his possession wine to provide, then that arrangement would be usur. The Gemara asks, "V'chi ein lo yayin mayhave?" If that supplier did not have any wine, so what? Why should the arrangement be prohibited? The arrangement in the Mishnah for him to provide the purchaser with the wine. V'hatanyo, have we not learned? Ein poiskin al haperos ad shiyetze hashar. One is not to pay money for the supplying of fruits until the public price has been established. However, Yotza Hashar, once a public price is established, Poiskin, I can pay fruits to a supplier. He will then supply me with the fruits at that rate. If, let us say, I paid $1 for 10 pounds of potatoes, that supplier will supply me with 10 pounds of potatoes, maybe over the course of several months, at a point in time where the potato price may have even risen, but that's okay. And why is that? Because when I paid for the potatoes, there was an established price. And technically speaking, all of those potatoes could have been supplied to me at that time. So that even though they may be supplied later on, since the potential for an immediate purchase and supply was available, then that arrangement becomes okay. And not only that, af al pi she'ein lo ze yesh lo ze, even if the vendor to whom I gave the money himself did not have in his possession the item, he could have easily gone to another supplier and provided him with the goods. So why in the Mishnah does it say that if the vendor does not have the wine, then the arrangement is not allowed? Once there is a public price established for the item being purchased, the supplier need not have actual possession of it. So we have a Mishnah that requires explanation. And ahead of us we have a long discussion. And you'll notice the diamond marking appears on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei / Mivne heading. A diamond appears, and we indicate Gimel Hesberim. There are three explanations, Lahadikatoni b'masnisin, to explain why it says in the Mishnah, Vayayin Ein Lo Osir, that if the supplier mentioned in the Mishnah was not in possession of wine, then it would have been prohibited, then the arrangement featured in the Mishnah would have been prohibited. Be'esem Mikre Medubar, under what circumstances does the Mishnah's ruling apply? Maha Kavona Shim Yesh Lo Yayin Mutter Vim Ein Lo Yayin Osir. That if he would have had wine, then that supplier featured in the Mishnah would have been able to provide the wine. And if he didn't have wine, then it's prohibited. That is hard at this point. It's hard to understand. I certainly hope that everyone is familiar with the Mishnah, and if not, so by all means go back to Daf Samach Omid Beis and go over the story featured in the Mishnah. On second thought, maybe we should just read it right now. Read it through quickly. I know that for some of you this might be a bit repetitive, but nevertheless there are a lot of details here. And on the third line of the Mishnah, Daf Samach Amud Beis, we spoke about the prohibition of being marbe beperes, and it said Ketzad Lokach Himenu Chitim Bedinor Zov Akur V'chein Hashar. A person paid money for a kur, a measure of chitim, paying a dinar zov, 25, which is 25 dinar kesef, and the Mishnah emphasized in v'chein hashar, that was the known rate. Omdu chitim belamed dinrim. After a while, the value of chitim went up, and it's now one kur, 30 dinar kesef, as opposed to the original 25. Omar lo tein lichitai. The purchaser said, well, I would like you to provide me with wheat now. Shani rotsi lemoichon v'likach b'anyan. I want to sell the wheat and buy with the money wine. In other words, I would be able to get 30 dinar kesef right now, and that's how much wine, 30 dinar kesef worth of wine, I want to buy. Omar lo. So the vendor says, harei chitech asiyus alai b'shloshim. Well, the wheat that I owed you is, let us consider it at 30. In other words, I owe you 30. Varei luchetzli bohenyayin, and I'll provide you with the wine. V'yayin ein lo. And if he does not have wine, usher, then that arrangement will be prohibited. And we are right now asking, why is that the case? So now, the Gemara. Before we go into the text, though, do by all means take a bird's eye view of the daf. You see number one here. A few lines later, Abaye appears as number two. At the bottom line, Rava appears as number three. And his explanation will take us down a number of lines, Samach Gimel Omid Aleph. So now the Gemara. Omar Rabba, Masnisin Bebo Lachuv B'demeim Askinon. The Mishnah is talking about an arrangement different than that which we thought when we read the Mishnah. Before getting into the Gemara text itself, let's glance at Rashi a few lines down from here. Masnisin Bebo Lachuv B'demeim Askinon, Shelo Nosan Lo Ze Hamocher Lalokeach D'mei Hachitin shechayav lo sheyachsov yikablam himenu b'shvil hayayin. We are not talking about a case where the vendor, the wheat seller, actually gave the cash value of the wheat to the buyer, that we can then say he got that money in return from the buyer in anticipation of being of supplying him with wine. Ella, we continue in the Rashi. Ella ba lasois olav demei hachitim chayv v'lifsuk al hachayv yayin. Rather, we will see, but we'll have to see this a little more clearly when we learn the Gemara itself. The value of the wheat was in his in their arrangement converted into a chov, a debt. I owe you the value of the wheat, and instead of paying you the value of the wheat, I will supply you with wine. V'kach omar lo, and thusly the provider said, ani mekabel olai chitecha b'shloishim dinar. Kamo shata yochol lemoichron, I accept upon myself the value of your wheat at 30 dinar. 30 dinar, we said in the Mishnah, 30 dinar for the kur, which is what you could sell the kur for and get 30 dinar right now. Varei lecho etzli bohen yayin kishar shalachshov, and I accept upon myself to supply you with 30 dinar worth of wine. In other words, instead of paying you the 30 dinar, which is the value of the chitim, I'll supply you with wine. De'i havei le yayin, if this supplier would have wine, havei kone lo me'achshov, it would be considered his, the receiver's, from right now, the Iker, and if it would go up in value, Rishus Iker, it's considered going up in value in his own possession. Avol ein lo v'lo kibel achshav mois, if, however, the wine supplier doesn't have wine, and he likewise did not receive any actual money right now, shenucho lomar, that would have enabled us to say yachol liknoise bedomim shekibel, that if he had received money, he could go buy wine from someone else. Nimso sheina metzel elo b'halvo b'yamo. The result of this then is that money, the 30 dinar worth of chitim, that 30 dinar value is a mere loan in his hands, and therefore to supply the wine, which may go up in value, would be prohibited. Let us now turn to the Gemara to make a little more sense of that. Rabbah says that our Mishnah is speaking of circumstances that he refers to as Bebo Lachu V'Demeyem Uchidisanya Hare Shehoya Noishe B'Chavero Mona. Imagine someone trying to collect a mona. The holach, a mona is $100, if you will. The holach, the Oman al Gornoi, the Oimer, and the Malve, the lender who's trying to collect his debt, goes to the borrower's greenery. And he stands there and says, "V'yomer teini mo'isai, I want my cash. Shani rotsa likach b'hem chitim. I want to buy wheat for commercial purposes. I want to buy wheat. Omer lo, chitim yesh li shani noisei loch. In fact, I have wheat that I could provide you with. Tsei v'asei olai kishar shel achshav. Go and establish the quantity that you could get based on the current price, and over the next 12 months I'll provide you with that quantity of wheat." So that if you had, here we had a debt of $100, imagine $100 would get you 100 pounds of wheat, so over the next year I'll supply you with 100 pounds of wheat. Now when over the course of the next 12 months the value of the wheat, let us say for our purposes, goes up in price. So we say here that arrangement, usur, will be prohibited. Why? Delav ki isoro habo liyodoi domi. Because there was no actual payment that took place in this case of money. In the Mishnah's case, if you recall, we had someone that paid money. Isar, by the way, is a coin. Isaro haboliodo. If there would be a payment, an actual physical money payment for an item, then and that item has an established public price for it, the item in question can be provided over the course of time, even if the price does go up. But that's because there was an initial payment of money, and the vendor in that case could take the money when he received it and buy that item from other suppliers. But in the absence of an actual payment of money, in this case there had been a simple previous debt that existed. The Gemara goes on, Amar le Abayi, the lo kisor habo liyodo, if the circumstance is viewed as lo isaro habo liyodo, that there was simply a debt that was then converted into payback through wheat, then my irya ain lo. Why does the Mishnah on Samach Omid Beis speak of the prohibition based on the fact that the vendor there did not have wine? Afilu yesh lo nami. Even if he had in his possession wine, it would have been prohibited. What's the proof for that? In the source we just read, we had the lender going to the borrower at the borrower's granary, and in that case we saw he had wheat, And even if he had the product, since there was no initial payment of money for that product, there was a debt that existed, but there wasn't payment of money for that product. It was lo kisara bo liyado. Therefore, even in a case where the vendor has the product, it would not be allowed. That providing the supplying of that product over the course of time, when it goes up in value, would be a problem of ribis. So that this, we'll say, superimposing this scenario of Baal Lachuv B'dmeyem that Rabbah introduced and superimposing that on the Mishnah would not be accurate. Because our Mishnah explained the prohibition because of Ein Lo, supplier didn't have the product. But according to this Tanaic source, even if Yesh Lo, the arrangement would not be allowed. Elo Omar Abaye Masnisin Kidetoni Rav Safra Beribis Debei Rabbi Chiya. The explanation of the Mishnah, says Abaye, is like the Tanaic source that Rav Safra taught while he was learning Ribis. Ribis is our perek. It's a name, it's another way to refer to our perek as of Bava Metzia. So Rav Safra was learning the fifth perek of Bava Metzia in the yeshiva of Rabbi Chiya. And in the course of his learning, Rav Safra presented a Tanaic source. And through the information in this Tanaic source, we will be able to explain our Mishnah. Detani Rav Safra Beribis Debei Rabbi Chiya. First of all, the Mishnah is not talking about a case of what we call poisik imoy b'tchila lachitin. That's the lashon you can see in Rashi. That's what Rabbi is telling us, is that the true understanding of the Mishnah is not like the, we'll say, the simple reading of the Mishnah, but rather as follows: Yesh devarim shehem mutarim vasur mishum haromas ribis. There are procedures, transactions that are allowed, but they're allowed by letter of the law, but they are to be avoided, they're to be prohibited because of haromas ribis, a form of, let's say, ribis that appears in a twisted or underhanded form. The term haromas ribis is a term that could be understood to mean not actual Torah level ribis, but nevertheless something that the rabbis would prohibit. Ketzad. Example. Omar lo, halveni mona. A person comes along and says, would you loan to me a mona? A mona is 25 sela. Sela being a type of currency, a mona is 25 sela. Omar lo, mona engli. So the individual approached as a lender says, I don't have a mona. However, I have wheat that is valued at 25 sela. Nosan lo chite bemona. So the supposed lender, or the one appearing as the lender, doesn't lend cash 25 sela, but what does he do is he provides wheat. At that point that the malve, if you will, provided the wheat, a debt of 25 sela was established. The chozar v'lochan emenu be'esrim v'arba sela. The lender himself said, would you be willing to sell that wheat to me for 24 sela? And if you have a borrower who is hard pressed for cash, he'll go along with that. So even though the wheat is worth really 25 sela, he sells it for 24 sela. Try to follow in your mind the direction that the money is taking. At this point then, you have the individual, we called him the malve. He's functioning right now as a purchaser, and he's extending 24 sela. Over the course of time, the debt is going to be paid back from the one who just sold the wheat. He's going to have to pay 25 sela. This arrangement is mutter. However, the osulasos came with nei haromas ribis. It's nevertheless prohibited to do because of people confusing this with an actual case of interest. Why will people confuse this? Because people who don't know the details of this case, what do they see? They see a person extending 24 sela. We can call that person the so-called malveh. The 24 sela, though, he wasn't extending as a loan. He was extending that as a means of buying back the wheat. But you see 24 sela going from one person to, from Mr. A to Mr. B, and later on Mr. B is paying 25 sela back to Mr. A. That doesn't look good. It looks as if Mr. A was giving a loan of 24 sela and getting back as repayment 25, getting back more. That appears as ribis. That is what Rav Safra taught in while he was learning the fifth parak of Bava Metzia in the Yeshiva Pchia. Now, using that model, ha ha nami. So to likewise here too in our Mishnah. Kegoin de Omar, halveni shloishim dinrim. Man comes along and says, would you loan me 30 dinar? Omar lo shloishim dinrim ein li. I don't have 30 dinar in cash to loan you. Chitim b'shloishim dinar eishli shani noisein loch. However, I've got wheat whose value is 30 dinar that I'm willing to give you. Nosan lo chitim b'shloishim dinrim. So the provider gave wheat worth 30 dinar. At that moment, a debt of 30 dinar is established. V'chozar v'lokchom heimenu b'dinar zov. And that wheat provider then bought them back from the guy who borrowed the wheat, so to speak. He bought the wheat for a dinar zov. Dinar zov is 25 dinar kesef. Now, in the course of time, as we said before, we see from the wheat supplier 25 dinars of 25 dinar kesef going in one direction, and eventually that person who received the dinars of is going to be paying 30 to cover the debt of the wheat back in the other direction. The Gemara goes on. E is le chamro la loive de yohiv le b'shloishim dinar. If the borrower, remember he has a debt to pay back. How much was the debt that he has to pay back? Well, 30. So if he happens to have wine in his possession that's worth 30 dinar, then it's okay. Pirahu de koshokil mineva less lanbob. The malve is receiving, pira is a term translated literally, fruits, non-cash. Wine in this case. He's getting wine, so it doesn't look bad. Remember before the issue was, we saw a certain amount of money going in one direction and a greater amount of money going back in the other direction. That's what doesn't look good. But in this case, so we saw 25 dinar kesef going in one direction. Eventually, wine going back in the other direction. So that doesn't appear to be a problem of ribis. The elo, and if the borrower is not paying back in wine, but is going to pay back in cash the debt of 30 dinar kesef, Kevon de les le chamra, since he doesn't have wine, vadai mishkal zuzi mine, he will definitely, the malve, the lender, will definitely be taking cash, mechzi karibis, and that looks like ribis. The public, as we said before, saw initially the malve, when he was buying back the wheat, paying 25, and the receiver of those 25, the borrower, is now paying cash of 30. That doesn't look good. So that's Abaye's suggestion of how to understand the case in the Mishnah that spoke about the wheat and the wine. Omar le Rava. And now we have triangles. These triangles are a series of questions that Rava asks on Abaye. How are we to actually adopt your scenario and superimpose it on the Mishnah as it is, as our Mishnah is? The language in our Mishnah doesn't indicate the story that you are that you're suggesting. Omar le Rava, I hachi, tain li fitai. That's the language in the Mishnah itself. We saw the person who advanced the money. He said, "Give me my wheat." But in your scenario, the individual is asking not for the wheat. He's eventually asking for the money that was owed for the wheat. Therefore, the Mishnah should have said, "Demei chitai miboyale." According to Abaye's scenario, as far as the demand for the wheat, once again, according to Abaye's scenario, there wasn't a demand for the wheat. There was a demand for the. There would have been a demand for the value of the wheat. So Abaye says, "Tini demei chitai." So if that's your whole problem, so read in the Mishnah instead of chitai, demei chitai. There's another problem, though. Question: Shani roitze lemoichron. That's what we saw in the Mishnah, where the fellow who wanted the wheat said, "I want the wheat because I want to sell the wheat." That's not what took place in Abaye's scenario. Rather, shemochartim loch miboyalei. Give me the value of the wheat that I had sold to you. If you recall, in the scenario, the lender was sought out for 30 dinar. So lender said, "I don't have 30 dinar, but I've got 30 dinar worth of wheat. So take the wheat." In that sense, the lender was selling him the wheat, and now, in Abaye's scenario, he wants back the value of the wheat, as we said a moment ago. So shouldn't the language of the Mishnah have reflected that and stated shemochartim loch instead of the current language of the Mishnah, where the desire for the wheat was, "I want the wheat because I want to now sell the wheat"? So Abaye answers to me, shemochartim loch. So if that's your only problem with my recommendation, so restate the Mishnah as saying, "Give me the value of the wheat that I had sold to you." Question. Hare, this is a quote from the Mishnah on Samach Amud Beis. Hare chitecha asuyas olai b'shloishim dinarim. The provider in the Mishnah said, "You know, the wheat that you anticipate getting from me, we will now view it as worth." And I emphasize here, as a result of the value of the wheat going up, we will view it now as worth 30 dinar. Yeah, but according to Abaye's scenario, mei koranami hachi ukminhu iluya. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. Just roll back to the previous arrow. At that point, it said chitim b'shloshim dinar yeshli shani noisei lach. There, the wheat was right now worth 30 dinar. The 30 dinar figure in the Mishnah was a reflection of an increase in price. According to Abaye's scenario, the 30 dinar value of the wheat was the current cost of the wheat. So Abaye answers, "Hachi ko amale." The understanding is, as far as how to understand the Mishnah, "B'demei chitecha she'asisa olai b'shloshim dinar hare l'cha etzli bohen yayin v'yayin ein lo." In the way to understand the Mishnah is as far as Abaye is concerned, in exchange for the value of the wheat that had been 30 dinar, I will provide for you wine. So the understanding of the Mishnah reflects that the original value of the wheat, in fact, was 30 dinar, and as the Mishnah wanted to say, but the Yayin Ein Lo, he doesn't have wine. And as a result, the Mishnah ruled it's prohibited. The Gemara asks, but in the Mishnah, V'ha B'diner Zov HaKur, V'chein HaShar Katani, the Mishnah spoke about the value of the wheat as a dinar zov per kor. That's 25 dinar, not 30 dinar. Rashi, second line from the bottom. Oh, but dinar zov hakur v'chein hashar kotani v'im kidvorecha. And if, as you are teaching, says Rava to Abaye, kishalokhan b'dinar zov hoya hashar shloishim. When he bought it, when he paid the 25 dinar kesef, which is a dinar zov, when he paid that for the wheat, hayashar shloshim, the actual value though was 30 v'hai de oizel gabe, and the payment of 25 for the wheat that was actually worth 30 was simply a cheaper rate that he was that they agreed to pay for. Dihashar bedinar zov, for if the actual rate was 25, v'zehelam alav shloshim dinar meikara, and he insisted on a payment of 30 at the outset, ukminu beribis b'shvil hamtonoso, then that would be a problem of interest in exchange for his willing to wait for the payment. So, after all is said and done, we get to a point where Abaye's suggestion to be superimposed on the Mishnah just doesn't work out. Ela Omar Rava. Ki Shachivna, Rava announces it before he gives us his explanation. He says, when I die, Rebbe Hoshaya Nofik Levosi. The great Rebbe Hoshaya, who lived several generations before Rava, Rebbe Hoshaya was at the lived during the era of transition from Tanoim to Amoraim. So Rav Shaya, like Levi, like Reb Chiya, is the author of Brisa literature. So Rava says that he is sure, that because Rava explains unclear Mishnayos with brises that Rebbe Hoshaya composed, Rebbe Hoshaya certainly will grant Rava the honor of greeting him upon the latter's passing away. So Rava says that that Rebbe Hoshaya Nofak Levos, he will certainly come to greet me. We continue at the top of Daf Samach Gimel, De Mataratzno Masnisen Kavosei. As I straighten out, I answer, I explain Mishnayos like him, in accordance with Rebbe Hoshaya's teaching. So we now, as you can see, we have a frame section, and this frame section is how to understand the Mishnah. Let's make one thing totally clear. Rebbe Hoshaya's source is going to open up with a case of a debt that is trying to be collected. When we read the Mishnah, the simple reading of the Mishnah involved someone approaching a supplier for the purpose of purchasing chitin. And again, according to the simple reading of the Mishnah, someone came along with some cash and provided it to a wheat supplier, etc., and so forth, as we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shaya's Brisa is not that. And what Rava is saying to us is that in order to understand the Mishnah, including the end of the Mishnah where it said Yayin Ein Lo Usur, we have to understand the Mishnah as follows. Detani Rabbi Shaya, Hare Shoya Noisha B'Chavera Mona. There was someone trying to collect a debt of a mona. The Holach V'Omar Al Gorno. And the Malve went and stood by the granary of the borrower, the Omar, and the lender said, "Tain li ma'oisai shani roitze li kach boin chitin. Give me the cash that you owe me, because I want to go and buy wheat. I want to buy wheat for commercial purposes." the Omar lo, and the borrower said, "Oh, that's what you want, the cash for? Chitim yeshli shani noisei loch. I in fact have wheat. Say vason olai kishar shalach shav. Go and calculate based on the shar, the price shalach shav of right now, the current public market value of wheat. How much wheat would a mona buy you, and I'll supply you with the wheat. Higiyazman chitim limkor. We mentioned that the lender was interested in getting wheat for commercial purposes. The appropriate time had arrived for him to sell the wheat. Omalo. So the malve, the lender says, remember, we have this arrangement. You're going to supply me with the wheat. Tain li chitim shani rotzi lemochron velikoch ben yayin. Give me my wheat. Because I want to buy wine. Omar lo. So the borrower, the original fellow we called the borrower, said, "Oh, yesh li yayin shani no seilach. I've got wine. Tzeva son olai kishar shalashav. Go and calculate the value of the wheat that I had agreed to supply you. What's the current value of that quantity of wheat? And in accordance with the current value of that quantity of wheat, I will supply you with wine." Higiyazman yayin limkor. And as we said before, this is a commercial venture. The lender had in mind to get the wine to eventually sell the wine. So the time for the sale of the wine arrived. And the Omerlo and the Malve says, "Tain li yeni shani roitze lemochro v'likach bo shemen. I want to make an investment in oil now with the value of the wine that you agreed to supply me." Omerlo, "Oh, shemen yeshli. In fact, I have oil, shani noisein loch, that I could supply you with. Tzei vaseo olai kishar shalach. So go and calculate the amount of oil that I would owe you based on the current value of oil." Kulam, in all of these cases, we'll say juncture points, im yesh lo muter. If this borrower happens to have that product in his possession, so the arrangement is allowed. I hope it's clear. I didn't emphasize it here, but at each point when the time to supply the item arrived, it had gone up in value from the point in time that the original agreement to supply that item had been made. But we say if the supplier had in his possession the item, it's okay. And Rashi adds very importantly, and we don't say that there is a problem here of lav kisar boliodo, a point that we mentioned earlier. We raised the point earlier that when you don't have the presentation of money, actual presentation of the money for the item, that becomes a problem. But we don't say that is a problem in the event that the supplier has the actual item. And the reason for that is that as long as the supplier had the item, when the original agreement was made for that to be supplied, it's as if it was transferred to the possession of the lender. And any increase in price was an increase that took place in his own possession. And you don't have a problem of more money being paid back, more value being paid back than was originally given. However, ein lo usser. If the supplier does not have the item in his possession, so then the analysis that we just suggested cannot be applied. If he doesn't have it, so we can't say that it's viewed as if the item was transferred to the lender at the point they agreed for that. So as we said, with Rav Hoshaya's Braisa, we superimpose this onto the Mishnah, and as we said before, the opening of the arrangement between the parties was not one of a purchaser coming in with cash, giving it to the vendor, the supplier, but rather it was a case of a person that had a previous debt to collect, and that debt was then translated into a particular item that would be used to pay in lieu of the cash debt. And we said that's okay, that the item will be paid in lieu of the cash, even if it's a case where the item will be supplied later on when the value goes up, because the item that they agreed to supply instead of the cash is viewed, as long as the supplier has it in possession, it's considered as if it's transferred immediately into the lender's possession, and any increase that takes place, it's in the lender's possession that increase takes place, and it's not a function of the borrower paying back more than he received. Omar Rova, Shma Mino Midra Voshaya Klas. We have three legal conclusions to reach from Rabbi Shaya. The volcano shape that you see highlights each one of these conclusions. Shma mino demamidim malve algabi perois. We allow the lender to, literally, we stand the lender upon the fruits. But that means that we allow the lender to accept as payment for his debt fruits, assuming that there is an established price for it, and that those fruits can be supplied over a period of time, and the lo amrinon, and we don't object to that based on the lo ki isora habol liyodohu, that we don't see an actual cash payment at the outset. Doesn't matter if you don't see an actual cash payment at the outset for us to allow this arrangement. Ushma mino hu diyeshlo. Likewise, we say that arrangement is allowed, provided the supplier, who just so happens to be the borrower, has the item in his possession. Now that insistence on yeshlo is because we are dealing with a collection of a debt of a halva, and the hush yeshlo will compensate for the fact that we don't have isora boliado. But in the case of a purchase, like we originally thought in the Mishnah, where money is actually being paid at the outset for the supply of produce over the course of time, even if the produce happens to go up in value later on, there the supplier doesn't have to be in actual possession of the fruits. As long as there's a public price that's been established, the supplier can go to someone else and get the fruits and supply them right now. So since all that exists in potential, in a purchase with a supply agreement over a course of time, it's okay even if that supplier does not have the item in his possession. Ushmamina, a third point of conclusion. Esau l'derebi Yanai. We accept Rabbi Yanai's approach. Rabbi Yanai actually argues with Rav, which the Gemara will feature shortly, but from Rav Hoshaya we see a support to Rabbi Yanai's approach. Diomar Rabbi Yanai, ma li hein, ma li demehen. Now, to appreciate that, we go ahead in the Gemara, the Itmar, and here we'll see a machlokus between Rav and Rabbi Yanai, and when we learn Rabbi Yanai, we'll then attempt to see how Rav Yanai is supported from Rav Hoshaya's source. It's certainly a catchy sounding phrase, Mali Hain Mali Demand. What does that actually mean? The Itmar. Rav Omar Oisin Amono Beperois V'ein Oisin Amono Bedomim. We take a look at Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is in the lower, underneath the Gemara text. Oisin amona beperos, noisin mois beamona. A person advances money on good faith, keshar shalach, so based on current rates. Shiyotze b'shuk the current rates in the market. Even if the value of that item, in this case wheat, that you agreed to supply, goes up in value later on when the actual supplying takes place. So that oisin amona beperos means I can advance money. Amona literally means on good faith and trust. I can advance money, pay for an item whose public price is established. I know if I give you $10 and I know that that 10 pounds of potatoes can be purchased right now for $10, I give you $10 in anticipation of your supplying me with 10 pounds of potatoes. When are you going to supply me with the potatoes? Might be over the course of the next few months. When you actually supply potatoes, might be 10 pounds, might be worth $15. That's okay. However, the Einois and Amona Rav says, we continue in the Rashi, Lifsok al haperos kidei lekabel domim lishiokiru. If I give you $10 for 10 pounds of potatoes, and when let's say the supply time comes, at those same 10 pounds are worth $15. Rav says you, who paid initially $10 for the potatoes, $10 for the 10 pounds, you cannot take $15 in cash from that vendor. The keva de zuzi yohiv the zuzi shokil mechzik rabisa, since you gave him cash, $10, and you would be getting back $15. That doesn't look good. That's messy. It appears like ribbis. Even though we understand it's not a loan, it's not a halva, it's not ribbis that the Torah prohibits, but still it looks bad. I gave you $10 for supply of 10 pounds of potatoes, and you're giving me back $15 because whatever, you're not supplying me with the potatoes per se. That's not allowed, according to Rav. Now, Rav Yanai, if we look in the Gemara, Rav Yanai Omar, Mali Hain, Mali Demayan. What difference does it make if it's the supply of 10 pounds of potatoes a few months later that happened to be worth $15? Or I give you $15. In other words, giving you the actual potatoes, or giving you their equivalent, whether it be cash or possibly another item, that's okay, says Rav Yanai. According to Rav, that's not okay. What you are allowed to receive later that may be worth more, it's only if it's that item that you were initially paid for, but not cash. And the term demand, we're going to have to be a little bit flexible in our our translation abilities. The word demand doesn't mean only cash. It can mean another item that has that cash value, and that awareness is extremely important for us to go on in the Gemara. Meisvei, we ask on Rav. We have an arrow. You can see this is from the Rav Hoshaya source. It said in the source above, Kulam, in all of the cases, if you recall, there was an agreement to supply in exchange for the loan, instead of the cash value of the loan, wheat. And the story went on. He wanted the wheat in order to get wine, and then I need the wine in order to buy oil. So we said in all of those cases, im yesh lo mutar, if he has that, we'll say that next item, it's okay. So what do we see from here? We see from here that even if the item that's going to be used to pay back is not the same as the original item, and I emphasize, it's not the same as the original item, it's okay. What would Rav have said about that? No, Rav said, when you pay for something and the item goes up in price, the only thing you're allowed to receive later on is that item that may be worth more, but not the cash value of that, the increased cash value, not allowed. And we said before, when we speak about cash value, it doesn't mean just cash, it means any alternative item that happens to be worth that new higher amount. So do we not have then a Kashan Rav from the Rav Hoshaya source? Omar Rav Huna. Omar Rav. You'll notice we have a little house marking on the side under the Mivneh structure. We have Tshuvos Lakushi Arav. We have responses to that particular question. So Rav says the case that Rav Hoshaya spoke of, that we did allow something other than the original item as payback, B'Shem Moshach, when the Malve actually drew it. He made a kinyan on it. Rashi, in the lower part of the page, you can see right before the lines get extremely wide, B'Shem Moshach Himenu Hachita Mitchila. In our Rav Hoshaya case, the lender was trying to collect his money, and the borrower said, "I've got wheat for you." Instead, the lender made a kinyan moshach. He drew the wheat. The demei hachitim di day komakabel di brishusei eiker. In that case, since he drew the wheat, the increased value of the wheat was in his own possession, in the Malva's own possession. The Mishosh Moshach Kosol Teras Alva. As soon as he drew the wheat, the label of loan ceased to be relevant. The Kibel Chovo, and it's as if he was paid up complete, totally at that point. But what happened is he drew the wheat, but he then put it back into the supplier's domain, and what the increased value of the wheat is said to be in under the jurisdiction of the Malva himself, so that the increased value, when we went from the wheat and the arrangement was I'll take your wheat and I'll supply you with wine, there's no problem of the wine that's now worth the amount of wine worth the higher rate as being a payback for a loan. The Gemara asks on Rav's scenario, if the Rav Hoshaya case is talking about a case where the lender himself drew the item, do I have to tell you that it's allowed? Rather, the lender didn't actually draw the subsequent item, the wheat, and then later on the wine, but rather the lender was offered a spot in the borrower's house. A corner of his house was designated, that's yichid designated, Karen Zov as a corner of his house for the benefit of the lender. So the chiddush is that the and of course the item was in that corner, whether it be the wheat or later on the wine was in that particular designated corner, and that's enough to make it considered as if the increase in value took place in the lender's domain. Ushmuel Omar, Hamani Rabbi Yehudahi. The Rav Hoshaya source that said if he has, it's allowed, and we said that was a kasha on Rav, because you see from here that Osin Amona Beperos, not only Beperos but also Bedomim Mali Hain Mali Demehen. This source is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. Diomar tzad echod beribis mutter. In a, we'll call it a loan situation, where there exists a possibility that there won't be increase, even if there happens to, yes, be increase, we allow that. Now, that I'm saying in very general terms, but that's the idea behind tzad echod beribis, where the issue of increase is not not a guarantee, then the arrangement can be allowed. Rashi Do, by the way, take note of the fact that we have a long marking for Shmuel. Rashi, under the Tosfos commentary, Rabbi Yudo, he, the Omar Tzad, Echod Ribis Mutter. Ribis She'eno Al Yedei Halvo, El Al Yedei Mecher. Increase payback that comes not as a result of a loan, but as a result of a sale. Upomim Shebali De Ribis. At times, it would appear that there is increased payback. Kagon Zu Im Yukru Haperos, like our case, where money was paid, or there was an agreement to pay back the loan instead of the loan in cash, but an agreement to pay back in terms of fruits. In our Rabbi Shaya story, there was a loan of a mona trying to be collected by the lender. The borrower arranged with him to pay him payros. So sometimes it comes to ribbis, and when would ribbis arise? If the payros increase in value. If later on, when the supply of the payros comes to be a reality, they're worth more than a mona. V'yishalem domim, if he'll pay cash, yesh kan ribbis. V'im lo yishalem domim al payros shepasak hu imo, ein kan ribbis. If he pays back the cash value of the increased cash value of those fruits, so then there was a loan for 100 for a mona, and there was an agreement to pay back with payros. If he happens to pay back the increased value of those payros, so he's paying back more money than he originally received as the loan. V'im lo yishalem domim el payros, if he doesn't pay back cash, but he pays back with payros, sheposak hu imo, payros that they agreed at initially, at the initial point of agreement, ain kan ribbis. That doesn't represent ribbis because there was an established market value. And so if there was a loan for a mona, an agreement to pay back chitim worth a mona, and he pays back chitim, so there's no ribbis there. Hainut said out tzad echod beribis. That's what we mean by tzad echod beribis. Pomim ish ribis, upomim ein ribis. Shere eno posek imo amenas l'shalem domim eloperos. Their agreement was not to pay back cash, but to pay back the loan with payros. And since if the loan is paid back with payros, there is no ribis. And I emphasize here, even though the value of those payros later on happens to increase in price, that isn't a problem because when they agreed to the payback, the value of the fruits was that was exactly the value of the loan. Now we go back to the Gemara. Disanya. And here we bring a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Yehuda's opinion will be featured later, after the first opinion, the opinion of the Tanakama. Someone was trying to collect the loan of Amone. And they made an arrangement as follows. If I don't pay you back the cash, mona cash, by a certain time, then this field, the field owned by the borrower, will be yours. In other words, mecher literally means a sale, but you, instead of the loan, you will then become the owner of my field. Now, there's an interim period between the loan and the actual time for the loan to be paid back. Bizman sham mocher oichel peros mutter. Mocher is another way to refer to the borrower, the loveh. As long as the borrower is eating the fruits during that interim time, that's okay. However, lokeach oichel peros oser. If the malveh, the one who loaned the money, who is ultimately going to get the field, if the cash is not paid back, lokeach oichel peros oser. Why do we say the malveh is not allowed to eat the peros? The reason for that is because in the event that the cash value of the original loan is paid back, That Malva is not going to be keeping the field. So what happens? He gets his original principal in cash, and he's also benefited in the interim from all the fruits that he ate. So he gets not just the principal, but also the fruits. So the Tanakhama says that's prohibited. You can't get more back than you originally gave as your loan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ach bizman shelokecha choperus muter. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the malveh were to eat the peros, it's allowed. Why? Because in the event that the cash value of the loan is not paid, what happens? The malveh becomes the owner of the field. So the fruits that he was eating fruits that in effect were from his own field. That's okay, you can eat your own fruits. So what Rav Yehuda is describing is a case where since the consumption of the fruits is not a case of inevitable ribis. What do we mean by that? Because there's a possibility it won't come to ribis. And how is that? If the actual cash value is not paid back, so the fruits that he was eating in the interim, the malva was eating in the interim, were field fruits from his own field, the field that he is said to have acquired from the borrower. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maise Bebaitis Ben Zunin. Baitis Ben Zunin is a name. There was an incident involving him. Sha'asa Sadeu Mecher Alpi Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah, where he set up his field as a possible means of paying up a debt. V'loikeach Eichel Peros Haya, and the Malve was in fact the one eating the fruits, and all under the approval of Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah. So Rabbi Yehuda feels that his position is strengthened by this precedent. Amrulo, the rabbis who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, said to him, Misham Raya, trying to bring a proof from the case of Baitis Ben Zunin, like you got the whole story wrong. There was the love, the mocher, the original owner of the field, was the borrower. He was the one that was eating the fruits, not the lokeach, the acquirer, namely the malve. My binayu, what's the underlying point of difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama? So Omar Abaye, tzad echad biribis, iko binayu, the very principle that Shmuel introduced before is the point of difference. The Tanakhama doesn't take a risk. He doesn't allow an arrangement which might lead to ribis. And Rabbi Yehuda says we can allow this arrangement, namely allow the malve to eat the fruits, because it's a situation that's not inevitably going to come to a case of ribis. This is the end of our long marking. Shmuel introduced the idea of Rabbi Yehuda holding tzad echad ribis is mutter, and Shmuel was saying that as an explanation for how Rabbi Shaya says im yesh lo mutter, and it doesn't represent a rejection, a refutation of Rav. Rav Yoshaya's source was in accordance with this particular Tanaic point of view. Rav is not necessarily bound by this. Or alternatively, Rav's case wasn't a situation of simply tzad echad, but it was a Rav was telling you to avoid a case which would be definite appearance of ribis, namely if the arrangement was money was given for the supply of a product and that product increases in time and cash would be used to pay back, that would be a case that would certainly appear as ribis. It's very true that if peros were being used to pay back, then it wouldn't be a problem according to Rav. But for simplicity purposes, the Rav Ashaya source doesn't represent a refutation of Rav, because the Rav Ashaya source is based on the opinion of this particular Tana. Rava disagrees with Abaye, and according to Rava, even Rabbi Yehuda the Tana will not allow a case what we call tzad echad beribis. So what is Reb Yehuda allowing? Rava Omar ribis almanas lahachzir iko binayo. Can you take interest with the condition that you will return it? So what is Reb Yehuda allowing? Reb Yehuda says that the malve can eat the fruits on condition that if the lova pays back the cash principal value of the loan, that malva who ate the fruits will pay back the borrower the value of those fruits, so that at the end of the day the lender is getting back only his principal value of the loan, and all that extra value that the lender was enjoying from the fruits, the lender returns to the borrower. The Tanakhama says even that I will not allow. I don't allow you to take interest on condition that you return it, because as Rashi says, the Tanakhama says at the time that he's eating, so there's a problem, there's a potential problem of ribis. And once you violated it, and the payback later does not help. Omar Rava. Hashto diomar Rabbi Yanai. Now that Rabbi Yanai has established, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ma li hein, ma li demayim amrinan. What difference does it make whether you get back the increased value of fruits or you get back their cash value? Mali and therefore it's allowed to get back their cash value. Mali demayen, mali hein nami amrinan. And as a result of that, upoiskin al shar shebeshuk v'af al pi she'ein lo. Since according to Rav Yanai, we don't make any distinction between getting back the fruits that have a greater value or getting back their later increased cash value. We allow you to pay money for fruits to a supplier, even if that supplier doesn't have the fruits in his possession, and he will supply you with the fruits at some later point, even if their value increases. Now we dashed underline the key point is v'afal pi she'ein lo. Esvei Rav Papa Rav Huna Bravery Shula Rava. How can you say that you can advance money for the supply of fruits to a supplier even if he doesn't have those in his possession? Did we not learn in the Brice of Rav Hoshaya back on Omen Aleph? We have a little star, you can use that to refer back if you like. Kulam im yesh lo mutter im ein lo aser. In the Rav Hoshaya source, we pointed out that if the supplier doesn't have the item, then that arrangement would not be allowed. Omar lehu, so Rava responds. Awesome, in the case featured in the Rav Hoshaya's discussion, or Rav Hoshaya's Tanaic source, Halva, that was a case of a loan. And we tried to emphasize this point earlier. Where you're dealing with a loan, we will not allow the principal value of the loan to be paid back with fruits whose value increases if that borrower did not have those fruits in his possession when the agreement to pay back with fruits came into being. However, the conclusion that Rava reached regarding Rav Yanai's teaching that you're allowed to receive fruits whose price increases, whose value increases later on, even if the supplier does not have it, because that's a case of a sale. In a case of a sale where you put money down for the item, not just trying to collect a debt, but you're putting down cash for that item, then it does not become a binding factor that the supplier has those fruits in his possession. And we mentioned before the svara that when you're paying for fruits, If that supplier doesn't have them, he can go down the block to another supplier and get them right now. And the increase in value that takes place over time doesn't present itself as a problem, since you could have become the owner of them right now. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.